Welcome into the Titan Size Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan Size Podcast, Matthias Wadner and Will Lomas. We are here today to discuss really two things. We'll start by talking about the new Titans uniforms that were unveiled Wednesday night in downtown Nashville. And then we are going to continue our preview of the upcoming NFL draft by diving deep into the inside linebacker position, because I think everyone is in agreement that even after the signing of Will Compton, the Titans still have a very big hole at inside linebacker. Because even though we don't think Avery Williamson was very good, he was the starter. And I don't know that Jayon Brown is an every down player yet. Maybe eventually, but not quite yet. So before we talk about that position, let's talk about the new uniforms. General consensus from what I heard from people last night was they like the uniforms, they like the sword print on the sleeves, but everyone that I talked to just about told me that they wished there was more red on the uniforms. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I actually tweeted from the Titan Size account that we wanted more red, because I think pretty much everyone wanted a little bit more red, and we were a little bit surprised not to see it. That said, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the uniforms. I thought when the leaks came out, I thought it was the worst uniform of all time, worst jersey of all time. It did not look good.
I agree.
They did not look good in the leaks at all. But once they were on the players, I thought they looked pretty fresh, pretty modern. The thing I still don't like about them is that, like, the sides, right under, like, the shoulders, it's a different color than the actual shoulders in that than the actual jersey. I don't know who decided on that, but regardless, I really like the gray accents on the shoulders. I think it looks good, and most importantly, the helmet looks absolutely awesome.
Yeah, the helmet's great. I mean, I've talked before, I'm not a fashion guy. I don't care. I don't care if we go out with trash bags, you know, as long as we win, I'll go out and buy some hefties. Like, that's kind of my stance on the whole thing. Like, if you play good, the Patriots have one of the most boring, bland uniforms in the NFL, and they routinely win championships. So I don't care that much.
The trash bags, right?
Yeah. Like, having said that, like, I mean, I really like the helmets. I really like the dark on dark. And I really like the white on white a lot, because I'm a Tennessee Vols fan, so my history is kind of colored by that. Like, the coolest uniforms that I can remember us wearing were the black ones that they wore with Lane Kiffin. A lot of people either don't like them or they love those, and I was at the game, and I, you know, we had a really good game, and it was one of the few really good games we had. So, you know, I really like those uniforms. So I've always liked the dark, especially when you play more night games, which the Titans will.
Said that last year, and then one of their night games was against the Jaguars, right? No, the Colts.
I mean, that's true, but, you know, this year we lost to the Patriots in the playoffs, whereas last year we, you know, lost because Marcus Mariota got hurt. Anyway,
yeah,
this team is much more watchable now with Mike Vrabel than it was with Mike Mularkey at the helm. So I think we'll see some changes. I don't know. I mean, maybe we get like three or four nighttime games. That's a pretty good amount.
Yep.
Not that that's what we're talking about when we started this, but the helmets, the uniforms look cool. That's the best part.
The one bone I had to pick with the uniforms was on Marcus Mariota's specifically. Like, I'm looking at Kevin Byard's right now, and I think it looks really cool. I love the silver toning on the sleeve, and I like the red Nike swoosh. I just think the number 8 looks weird. It looks like off centered almost.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a gripe with the numbers. Personally, I don't mind them because I didn't like the numbers before, and I think these are, I don't know, they're different at least. You know, they have a lot of sharp edges and stuff like that. I agree with you. The Byard, if you're talking about the all navy one, that's one of the nicest uniforms I've ever seen in football, to be completely honest with you, especially with the navy helmet.
And it helps that the person under the uniform is one of the best safeties in the league.
Just a player.
Yeah.
Just a fan.
Dripping swag.
You're just a fan, yeah.
Which he in the video that they showed last night before the event started, Byard was wearing a shirt that said "Just a fan."
Just a fan.
Yeah.
That was an awesome little dig at Deion Sanders, who doubled down on his uninformedness. I don't know what he's
the
doing.
The same person. Now, granted, I think Deion Sanders is maybe the best player to ever put on a helmet, but his takes are so bad. Like, yeah, this is the guy who said that Terry Robiskie needed to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Reggie White is the best player to ever put on a football helmet.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, just in terms of pure dominance. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the whole, like, the fact that we keep giving him attention, but every time I think it's going to fade away, he says something stupid, or people remember that he said something else that was stupid, and it makes me want to go at him all over again. But, you know, I mean, I guess if you don't want to watch football but you want to talk about football, the NFL Network's a great place to do it for him, but I don't know how they can keep him and not just publicly just – a disgrace. Yeah. And it's so embarrassing, like, to talk about an all-pro safety and act like you, first of all, to not know who he is, and second of all, to, instead of just saying, oh, I apologize, you know, okay, I was thinking,
you know, Kevin Byard, third round draft pick, small school kid, came out of nowhere. I could maybe understand how a casual fan, or perhaps on his worst day, an analyst, might not realize who Kevin Byard is on Twitter. What I don't get is the doubling down, number one. And number two, he didn't know who Harrison Smith was either.
Yeah.
Harrison Smith is a better player than Kevin Byard, the best safety in the NFL now that Earl Thomas can't stay healthy. Yep. Like, that was what was more shocking to me than anything.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't even surprising to me. Just because, I mean, this happens in pretty much every sport and on, like, major national networks. I'm going on a side tangent rant here, but I need it because it's just ridiculous. These former players, just by virtue of being former players, get these big jobs at these big networks to analyze sports and analyze games and players, and they don't even do their homework, and they just get by just by being having been in the league before. And honestly, it's kind of ridiculous, and it puts a lot of good analysts who do their homework, do their research, and are really good at their jobs.
And there definitely are some good ones. Like, Brian Baldinger is an outstanding former player analyst. I like Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson, Steve Smith, really good.
David Carr is pretty good too. They're good ones on NFL Network.
The baseball side of thing, I like Pete Rose. I like Alex Rodriguez. Those are some good former player analysts, but there is a lot of garbage with the good stuff.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's the country we live in, I guess, or pretty much any country that happens. Man. But regardless, the uniforms look nice, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So let's move into the NFL draft and talk about the inside linebacker position. So instead of just us kind of shouting out our rankings and, oh, I like this player, don't, you know, let's go player by player, kind of with the top five or six guys, because no one listening to this, I'm sure, cares about, you know, dude who might sneak into the sixth round if he's lucky. We're just going to talk about the big guys. And we're going to start with pretty much the consensus number one at inside linebacker, Roquan Smith from Georgia. I'll share my thoughts and then let you guys take over. Roquan Smith, I mean, he checks every box. He might be the cleanest prospect in the entire draft other than Quentin Nelson, and that, like, there's really nothing in his game you wish was better. But the thing about him is he does play a position inside linebacker that's not incredibly valuable today. And unless he becomes Luke Kuechly, who really transformed that Panthers defense when he got there, how much value is there in an inside linebacker? And though he might be really good and go to six or seven Pro Bowls, is that top five worthy? Is that top 10 worthy?
I mean, it depends what your team needs are. For the Titans, it'd be worthy, I think so, yeah. But we have the 25th pick, and we won't have the opportunity to get him. But I do see what you're saying. I don't know if he's going to be Luke Kuechly. I could see him being sort of like Deion Jones, who plays for the Falcons right now, who's a really fast linebacker.
I read a comparison of him to Thomas Davis. I mean, I'd be excited about having Thomas Davis on my team.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Thomas Davis thumps a lot harder than I think Roquan Smith does consistently.
Mm. Yeah, but Roquan Smith is probably more athletic, quicker player. Gets sideline to sideline probably a little bit faster, but Thomas Davis is a little bit bigger than Roquan Smith, I think. Roquan's not, like, overly big. What was he, like, 6'1", 225?
You got to keep in mind, Thomas Davis played safety in college.
Oh, true, yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, maybe it's an apt comparison.
Smith's a real – I mean, for what the NFL will be over the next 10 years, Smith is part of that new prototype. He's super athletic, can cover everybody. I mean, you can split him out versus the slot.
But he's not like who is the guy from LSU last year? Not Deion Jones 2 years ago, the one this past year.
King? Duke Riley?
Duke Riley, yeah. He's not like a Duke Riley in that you pick him for his speed, but you worry about him against the run. Like, he's really solid in coverage, and he's going to be just fine, you know, filling his gaps in the run game.
Like Smith has sand. Like, he's not going to just get, like, knocked off. I mean, he's not the guy who's going to get driven 3 yards in the end zone on a goal line play.
Yeah.
Like, that's not who he is. Like, he's athletic enough to make plays on sideline to sideline, which almost always should equal a first-round grade. Because if you can do that in college, and if you've got the range to make those kind of plays, that's something that's so rare in the NFL that, I mean, you've got to kind of get it where you can get it. But what really makes him special is he can cover. And if you get him at a bad angle and you're a running back, he's going to knock. I mean, he'll hit you now. He's not consistently going to thump. He'll get a lot of side tackles and stuff like that. But if you catch him wrong and you think you're going to run over him, you are incorrect.
Yeah, and if he gets like a head of steam, like a couple – like 10 or more yards, a run up before he hits you, he's going to knock you on your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's another linebacker we'll talk about in a second that I think is one of the biggest flaws, but one of Smith's biggest strengths is his football IQ. Like, he knows, he can see, okay, these are the steps offensive linemen take when it's a zone run to the left. This is what a pull block looks like. Okay, there's two guards pulling. I know my job is to stay inside the second one. Like, you can tell from last year to this year how much better he's gotten and how much more he understands the defense he's in. That's not something that all linebackers get. There's 3-4 year starters that don't end up stepping as quickly to stuff as he does, which when you play Alabama, the only way you're going to make plays against Alabama and Oklahoma with how they play that offense is you've got to react instantly and you can't get a step behind. And he did a really good job in those games. So I really think that's something that doesn't get talked about because he's so athletic. But, I mean, it's a big part of his game.
I think he's the kind of player where whoever takes him, the coach and general manager are going to be pumping their fists. Because if he goes in the top 10 – they're going to think that he's worth the top 10 pick and be very excited because they have an inside linebacker for the next 10 years. And if it's someone outside of the top 10, they're going to be pumping their fists because, oh my goodness, this guy who we thought we'd never have a shot at has fallen to us somehow.
Right.
I mean, and there's like, I can see like someone like getting Quentin Nelson and being like, well, you know, we really wanted this person, but we had to get the guard, you know, whatever. But I think it would be hard to be unhappy for whoever ends up with him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say is if you're going to take Quentin Nelson in the top 10, why not just take a line? I mean, there's no team that's so good that they should prefer a guard to a playmaking linebacker. I mean, especially not in the top 10. Like, every one of those teams could use another great linebacker. Even San Francisco, if San Francisco ends up taking him and putting him with Reuben Foster – I mean, if Reuben Foster stays out of trouble and all that kind of stuff, that'll be the most athletic, aggressive linebacking group in the NFL on a team that already has a number one linebacker. So you don't need to limit yourself. Whereas if you have a guard, you can only play as well as your weakest offensive lineman. Because if you're a defensive coordinator, you can scheme against, okay, this – when I was a coach, we called him the donkey. So – you've got studs and you've got donkeys, and your job as a defensive coordinator is to find the donkey and go after him. If you've got some undrafted right guard and Quentin Nelson at left guard, they're just going to put a bunch. They're going to put in Dominican Sue on the undrafted right guard. I mean, it sounds great to say
we're going to. Then they're going to have Aaron Donald to put on the other guard.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll put Jarrell Casey. But the point is like it sounds good to say we're going to take a guard so that we neutralize the Geno Atkins. That's great, but Geno Atkins can just play on the other side. Like it's not that's not how the game works. If you've got a really good middle linebacker. Or if you've got two really good inside linebackers in a 3-4 look, there's nowhere to hide from those guys. So that's why I think you take the risk on somebody like Roquan Smith, because there's no such thing as safe picks in the NFL. You know, ask Greg Robinson how it feels being a safe pick. So
I don't understand how Greg Robinson was a safe pick.
I mean, that's like saying
Cam Robinson was a safe pick. Pretty much the same player.
It's like saying
– I mean –
Quentin Nelson.
Aaron Curry back in the day was like the safest pick possible, and he was a massive bust.
Yeah, so take your chance on a linebacker.
Am I crazy to say that the safest pick in this draft – well, I think Roquan Smith is the safest pick, but other than him, maybe Josh Rosen might be the safest pick.
Josh Rosen's only thing is – and I don't think we'll do a quarterback episode so we can talk about it. Josh Rosen's only thing is he's going to have a personality, which we've all talked about before, that – you know, if you put him with an 80-year-old head coach, you know, if you put him
with Mike Mularkey and Terry Robiskie.
Yeah, like, he's going to get pissed off because he knows it's a bad scheme, and they're going to get pissed off because he won't march along to the way that, he beats his drum.
Yeah.
And if you put him with Belichick, like, he would have to just let McDaniels deal with him. He wouldn't deal with him himself because it'd make him too aggravated. But, you know, we're seeing a new wave of coaches, so that shouldn't be a problem. But, you never know. If he goes to Cleveland, which he won't, even though he should, if he goes to Cleveland and they win 3 games this year, even though he's pretty good, and they fire Hugh Jackson, and instead of going young, offensive-minded guy, they go old, defensive-minded guy, which is what happens in organizations, then, now you put him in a position to fail, and all of a sudden you get a pick who's labeled a bust, who ends up having a good career for another team, and you've screwed yourself twice.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next inside linebacker. Let's stay in the SEC and talk about Rashawn Evans from Alabama. He's a kind of guy, I said this a minute ago, I think he's fine at what he does, and I think he's a good football player. I just don't know that what he does is very valuable. So I'm not like low on Rashawn Evans in the sense that I think he's overrated. I think like his style of play is overrated because what he does really, really well. He is a, that thumper, tone setting inside linebacker. And 10 years ago, maybe I would have a different opinion on Rashawn Evans. But in today's NFL, I would rather have one of the sideline to sideline type of players. I think he has a potential to maybe only be a 2-down threat. At inside linebacker. I don't know. I just don't know how valuable his skill set is. He's good at what he does, but I don't know that what he does is valuable.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Rashawn Evans, to be honest with you. So when I watch him play, he's very fast and he's very aggressive when he's charging towards the sideline from the middle of the field. In coverage, I don't think he's terrible, but really nothing special. The one thing about him that's really good is his blitzing ability. I think PFF had a stat. He was he had the highest pass rush productivity among draft eligible linebackers. And you can see it on tape. He's actually very good when he's brought on blitzers or even just rushes off the edge. So he's definitely a player that would intrigue Mike Vrabel and Dean. From multiplicity look that they want to bring, but I don't think he's all that aggressive when he's going north to south like traditional linebackers do, and I'm not sure if I'd be willing to spend the 25th pick on him. I mean, he's really big. I don't know if he's I don't know. I'm just the inability to go north south and just stick your head in the run game and attack through the line of scrimmage is something that we didn't really see Avery Williamson do that much, even though PFF would like to tell you that he did. And I just don't know how much of an upgrade Rashawn Evans would be over Avery Williamson. And when you're spending the 25th pick, you want a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm sold on him
yet. I'm with you on that. I agree 100%.
So yeah. we're going to have a different opinion here. I wouldn't spend the 25th overall pick, but the latest buzz is that because he didn't run at Alabama's pro day, there was a second pro day and there were a couple of people that were supposed to run and neither one of them ran. And it was him and somebody else, and I can't remember who, but that really pissed off some scouts and some guys, you know, GMs and stuff. That's from Draft Analyst. I forget the website, but
Tony Pauline.
Yeah, Tony Pauline's site. Yeah. I think it's called Draft Analyst. Could be
Draft
wrong.
Draft Analyst, yeah.
Yeah, so but they, which does the best work in the off season in terms of like track and pro days and all that. I don't know how they get as much information as they get. I mean, he must know somebody from every team. And when you look at his, you know, buzz and the stuff he talks about, he generally predicts all the stuff that nobody else does. So, I mean, you should follow him and look that up. But according to him, people were really pissed off about that. Now they think that he might be a second round guy or a lower second round guy, which is great news because that's kind of exactly what would take him. Like we talked about it before, he is not a guy who can play inside in a 3-4. That's just not really kind of what you want there. What you want in a guy's inside a 3-4 is you want him rangy and athletic enough to cover if they have to. I don't think that's his game. Now he can play on third down because you can line him up at, you know, edge, or you can blitz him or whatever, because he is really good at, you know, he uses his hands well for a linebacker. He, you know, is really good. I mean, he's got the right size. I mean, he's 6'3", what, 240, something like that. I mean, he's not small.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he's side to side, he does want to be aggressive because he plays what's called inside out. So he'll play using the sideline as an extra defender. And that sideline gets shorter and shorter the more boundary people you have. So, like, let's say he's pursuing a running back over to Logan Ryan's side. If Logan Ryan gets the outside of the wide receiver blocking him and sets that edge and squeezes, which is what his job is on an outside run 90% of the time, and Logan Ryan does a good job at that. If he can set that forces the running back to cut inside and not use the whole width of the field. And he does a really good job of, when those running backs have to cut it up, of just punishing them, which is great. I mean, that's exactly what you want from an inside linebacker in a 4-3 scheme, because you've got outside linebackers setting that edge and doing all that. So his fit with this off defense would be weird, because on third downs, he would probably play outside linebacker. I mean, he probably set
and
out.
And I think that would be the case with him with a lot more teams than just the Titans. That's why I'm not huge on him.
Yeah. But I mean, I think if you're creative, you can use him on third downs and you can make him a full-time player. But unless you have a special talent, when defensive coordinator has to scheme a game plan for you, it's generally an issue with you.
Yeah.
So those guys shouldn't be drafted in the first round just in terms of principle. So I'm with you. I wouldn't spend the 25th pick, because that's where you want a guy who can do everything and who can make your job easier as a defensive coordinator. So no, but having said that, if the Titans trade down and want to pick up some extra picks, because I believe the Patriots have 2 second round picks, for what it's worth, John Robinson's best friends. But if he wants to do that, that's a guy I can say, okay, we'll go ahead and draft your pass rusher with your first pick, and then one of those 2 second round picks, take him, and then you've kind of, you know, set yourself up for success. But yeah, I mean, I think his floor is Avery Williamson, and that's something the Titans don't want to go through again.
Let's move on to someone we kind of talked about earlier, disagreeing on a little bit, Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State. He was a bit of a one-year wonder in college, which ever since the Kevin Dodd fiasco, that term kind of scares me in general. He's got good size. He's decently athletic. But similar to Rashawn Evans, I think he's more traditional than modern when it comes to the inside linebacker position. And while I think he has value, I don't know that his value is, you know, where the Titans are or necessarily in round one at all.
Yeah, so it's going to sound like I pretty much don't like any of the linebackers in this draft. And it might be true, but I think in general, I just I'm so over like linebackers in general in the NFL. I just think they're so devalued. And I don't see a lot of game changers out there, even in the NFL as is. And
I mean, think about it. The Bears gave up all this money a couple years ago for Danny Trevathan in free agency. How much did he impact that defense? None.
Nothing. I haven't even heard from him except for that Devontae Adams hit.
And he's a good player. He proved it in Denver. He's a good football player. But
they also had Jarrell Freeman.
How many times were the Titans exposed by Avery Williamson in coverage?
Good point. But that's the thing. You don't need a star. You don't need Ryan Shazier or Luke Kuechly, but you don't want Avery Williamson. You have to find a happy medium. You don't have to have the elite guy, but you don't want a deficient person.
But think about how much better that team is with Ryan Shazier. I mean, that defense is substantially better with a Ryan Shazier.
But Ryan Shazier's not in this draft class.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, Ryan Shazier was the 20-something pick, wasn't he? I mean, it's not like he was the number one overall pick. I mean, Roquan Smith can't be Shazier. I don't know that's true.
But
I think he can be.
Okay, Leighton Vander Esch is not going to be Shazier.
No, but he could be Luke Kuechly.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Ooh, hot take.
That's how many plays. I mean, if we want to get right into it, first of all, he's going to interview with Vrabel and Robinson later this week. I think somebody said that he has interviews with everybody from pick 10 to pick 26 or something. So that would include us. He's going to interview with them, and he's a former walk-on who ended up finally earning a spot. You know, we talked about this with Mello. You know, he's the perfect fit for that kind of mentality that John Robinson and Vrabel have.
Yeah.
Second, his game versus Oregon, which it was his last game, it was his bowl game, where, I mean, he'd put it together all season. He had a really good season this year in his first year as a real starter. But the game versus Oregon was just like, okay, if you thought my season was good, this is a preview of what I'm going to look like next year.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was it was one of the top three performances I saw of any player at any position in this draft. I mean, he was all over the place. He was causing fumbles. When he wasn't making tackles, he was forcing the running back or the wide receiver to another guy who was making that. I mean, he was everywhere. He looked like Luke Kuechly's best games in college. Like, he just – and you can see that in him. I mean, you can see, you know, when he flows, you know, the way he reads things, it just – it all looks so smooth. And the fact that all he talks about is how much he likes working and getting better and all this stuff. And you see that his neck is like 2 feet wide because all he does is work out. Like,
he's Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State.
That's exactly who he is. And there's pictures where he looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
He blew up the combine, even though nobody really seemed to have noticed. Being almost 260 pounds. I mean, he ran a 4.65 40 and a 6.88 3-cone. If he was lining up at defensive end, he'd be one of the most athletic defensive ends in this class. So, not in this class, sorry, in the NFL. He's really good. Like, you just don't get a 260-pound guy who runs a 6.88 3-cone. So, I don't know. I get that some people are down on him because, you know, he has games like his game versus BYU was not good for whatever reason. But even then, he was still like as good as Tremaine Edmonds is in most games, you know. So he's getting this really weird knock on him for being a 1 year starter. But J.J. Watt was really a 1 year starter. I mean, not that he's J.J. Watt, but not every one-year guy with a lot of production is a bust. Maybe it's just that he finally got his pace on the field, and that's kind of how I feel with Vander Esch.
He's a bit – I'm not going to say he's a tough eval, but it is a bit – it's hard because, like, I don't think he really got tested all that much because he only started 1 year. But when I saw his games, he really didn't get tested all that much in coverage. But whenever he does draw back, it just doesn't look natural, probably because he's just so big. But, I mean, he tested off the charts, so maybe at the next level that's something that he won't be a liability in. I don't hate him by any means. I actually think he's very good, particularly in the run game. He's always seeking first contact with the ball carrier. He's really strong at the point of attack at the point of contact with blockers, really doesn't get moved off the ball at all. He's a pretty effective blitzer. Really didn't blitz him all that much. And he's a really good tackler. So I wouldn't hate him at all. He also had 5 sacks and 3 interceptions over his last 2 seasons, which is really impressive considering he only started in one of those for the duration of one of those. So I like him. I wouldn't be too upset if we took him at 25. But like I said, it's just I don't know about the value of an inside linebacker at 25, especially if they don't show in college to be that adept in coverage, even though he didn't really have the opportunity to show it off.
Let's move on to someone that Will mentioned a second ago, Tremaine Edwards from Virginia Tech. I would rather, you know, when I look at a first round draft pick, I want someone that is going to have a high impact on my football team. I can find a quality starter in the second round and even in the third round. And, you know, I can get a project in the fourth round or the fifth round. But in the first round, I want someone that is going to come in and from day one impact my football team. A quarterback, a pass rusher. And you know, when you talk about the inside linebacker position, the only way I see that happening, that someone could come in and have a high impact on my football team, is if it's someone like a Roquan Smith who does everything really well, or if it's someone like a Tremaine Edwards who has sideline to sideline speed, can cover, though he's a little oddly sized for the position. I just think someone like him has more value in the NFL draft than a Rashawn Evans, than a Leighton Vander Esch. And also, so, I saw a comparison of him to KJ Wright, which gets me really excited. I love KJ Wright.
The reason I'm a little skeptical about Edmonds coming in and having that impact right away is just because he's so young. I mean, he's 19 years old, and he's really raw. So sometimes he doesn't take the proper angle or make the right decision, and his play recognition skills need to improve a little bit, but I mean, that's going to come with time. He's 19 years old. I mean, that's something you can absolutely work on. But his 19? Upside is 19 years old. Yeah, on draft day, he's going to be 19 years old.
How old was he when he started college? 15?
I have no idea. I think he was like 17. He only played 3 years.
Did he go to high school?
Possibly not. We don't know.
Never know. Yeah, he went up. Okay, so I'm sorry, Matias, I cut you off.
I was just gonna say some of his positives and why I really like him. Even though he's got like a kind of, it's not exactly a thin frame. It's just really long. He looks like Slender Man when he has his arms by his side. It's crazy. But he anticipates really well in coverage. He's incredibly quick. He gets to pretty much every stretch play or outside run that there is, and he doesn't get moved by blockers at all. I don't see people really pushing him out of the way. He's smooth in space, especially when he's used as a quarterback spy from time to time, and he was really productive. 30 and a half tackles for loss, 10 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles over his last 2 seasons. So he's someone I'm not expecting him to fall to 25. But if he's there, he'd be one of my top options.
Okay, so I'm gonna get real negative here because I don't like Edmonds at all. Really, I mean, if he falls to us in the second round, I would maybe take him. But so we talked about Smith's football IQ. I don't see that with Edmonds at all. There's a lot of times where he'll run the wrong way when the play is going the other way. He'll run the other way, and he'll do it consistently. It's not like it was one time in a game plan where he saw that teams like to do reverse, so he floated out with the quarterback on bootlegs. He'll just run the wrong way, and he's really athletic. And I mean, when I say he runs the wrong way, I don't mean he sprints to the sideline in the wrong direction, but he'll take 3 or 4 wrong steps and then realize, and he won't make the tackle. So when I see a guy like that, it's like when I see a guy who jumps off sides a lot on the defensive line. Like, it really makes me nervous that he's just guessing and getting right, which is a huge no-no. Because in the NFL, if you take one wrong step, you're in trouble. So that's one of my main issues with him, because now you're taking a guy who's 19 years old and you're saying, okay, Now you're going to play in the NFL, so I hope you really understood college, which I don't think he does. I think he's just really athletic and really long, which helps him kind of make up ground. So now you're saying, okay, you're going to be our starter and you're going to be our linebacker that we build our defense around. Then you got a 20, you know, I think he'll be 20 before the season. Yeah, he'll be 20 before the season starts. He only turns 20 like 3 days after the draft, which is, I mean, 19 is 19, but unless, so like people are really excited about his upside because he's young and he's athletic and he's long, but they're kind of leaving out the fact that he's going to take a lot of polish at the next level. You're going to have to kind of baby him the first year just to kind of make sure that he's not put in a position to fail. And for as good as he is in the pass game, he has, for a career, he has 6 pass deflections and 1 interception in 29 games started. To put that kind of in perspective, last year, just last year, not for his whole career, Van Der Esch had 7 pass deflections and 3 interceptions. So that, as good as he looks in coverage, he's not tipping passes away. He's not intercepting the ball. And there's an argument to be made that maybe people don't throw it that way, but when you watch a film, it really doesn't look like people are avoiding him intentionally. So I don't know. I don't see where people see kind of this guy who should be on par with Roquan Smith, and I think he's more in the Rashawn – like, he and Rashawn Evans would be a perfect combination for a team because they kind of do what the other doesn't, but I don't think either one of them is the complete package, and I have them rated pretty similar on my board.
Yeah.
A couple more players I want to hit on, and then I'll have you very briefly just kind of pick one of all the players we've talked about who you think would be the best fit at 25 for the Titans. Malik Jefferson, rare kind of guy where I sit there and I'm like, man, this is just could be a home run prospect. He's 6'2", 240, ran a 4.52 in the 40-yard dash. I mean, he has the ability to have an incredible impact in the NFL. He's built physically to be this modern linebacker that I've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. But then you turn on the tape and you're like, what happened? Like, where'd all that speed go? Where'd the athleticism go? Where did the size go? The physicality go? Reminiscent, and I hate to use this comparison. I'm not comparing him at all because the player that I'm about to mention sucks. Obi Melifonwu. He reminds me of a little bit in that combine warrior, top notch in terms of athleticism. But is he actually a good football player? You know, I would be willing to take a flyer on him, maybe as high as early round 2. But I don't know. What do you guys think about Malik Jefferson? One of the more polarizing prospects that I've seen thus far in the process.
Yeah. No, when I've seen him in games, it's maddening because I don't understand. He's so fast. He's so big. And his production is outstanding. He had 13 sacks throughout college, 26 tackles for loss. He's pretty good in coverage, but in most of the games I watch, they just use him as a blitzer for half of the time. They don't even want to play him in linebacker, and a lot of that is because he kind of goes invisible from time to time throughout these games where he's contributing really like nothing in the run game. He's not really making tackles or anything. It's not like he's not trying, but he's not just making an impact at all. And given his measurables, just how fast he is, how strong he is, you would expect him to be making a huge impact, and he doesn't whenever I watch him. So I don't know where you take that type of player.
Yeah.
But I mean, his athleticism is unmatched at the position. And I mean, if you can get him playing loose, playing free, then he is going to be almost a Pro Bowler at the next level, but I just don't know if you can take that risk so high in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, we are almost, and we've talked about him before. We've been on kind of the same page with him forever. When, mm-hmm. you know, you come in and you have all these lofty expectations and stuff, it kind of sucks because if you don't have a great career, then, you know, people get disappointed in you. I remember when people were touting him as the next Jalen Smith, and I mean, he was supposed to be the next linebacker that everybody was excited to take in the top 5, and he never became that guy. He's super athletic, which is great, but when your coaches have to blitz you because in your third year on that, in in college defense, you can't figure out what your reads are, that's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to watch. You just see him get blitzed over and over and over, trying to get him to make a play by beating somebody with his athleticism.
Well, I want you to answer this question. I'm really interested to hear your answer. Would you, if the Titans are playing a game tomorrow, let's give them a month. Let's give them a month to prepare. Okay. Titans are playing a game in a month. Would you rather have an inside linebacker opposite Wesley Woodyard, Malik Jefferson, or Miles Jack?
Ooh. This is tough for Will. Tough for Will.
Because I think the answer is easy. I think I'd obviously take Miles Jack. But
I'd take Miles Jack as well.
Wait, who'd you say first?
Malik Jefferson. Malik Jefferson.
Or Miles Jack?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if there's a third option.
yeah, Avery Williams.
Okay, no. Yeah, Avery Williams. No, I mean, I guess you take Malik Jefferson because I know Miles is bad at football. I don't know that Jefferson is going to be bad at football. Plus, I've seen Miles Jack try to blitz before and just get stoned and fall on the ground. I mean, he's not good. Like, I mean, I would just move whoever I had playing safety down because you'd get the same effect and you wouldn't have to spend a first or second round pick on the guy. Like, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. it's weird that people think Miles Jack is good and he's really good in coverage and all that, but, like, he had less career interceptions in college than Shaquem Griffin did, and he has one hand. Like, it's really weird that people – I don't know. I understand that he sounds real good on paper and that because people called him the next Ray Lewis before the draft and all that crazy stuff happened, that when he makes two or three plays versus the Steelers in a game that maybe people think he's good, but he's just not that dude. Like, it really helps when you're the sixth best player in your front seven. And now Paul Posluszny's gone, so I guess he's the seventh. But, I mean, I don't know. It's weird to me that people think he's good still.
Before we go, quickly, I want you to give me who, if he's there at 25, let's assume Roquan Smith is off the board. If he's there at 25, which of these guys, and you can even list one that we haven't talked about. We didn't get time to talk about Josie Jewell, who's someone that I like a little bit. So who you want the Titans to take at 25 if they're taking an inside linebacker, and if that player's not there, who would be your second choice? So I'm going to go Tremaine Edwards from Virginia Tech is my first choice, and I'm going to go Jefferson with my second choice.
I also want Edmonds, and I'd take Rashawn Evans if not. And also, late in the rounds, I like Dorian O'Daniel and Sky Moore, who are better in coverage than everyone else.
Okay, if I'm I guess Leighton Vander Esch would be my dude.
Who'd be your second?
In fact, maybe Jannard Avery is somebody we didn't talk about, who, but we should one day. He's super athletic, really aggressive, and can play. He's kind of like the really athletic version of Rashawn Evans. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. but he played at Memphis, so he didn't really play the same competition. So either Jannard Avery or Rashawn Evans, depending on how aggressive I knew my defensive coordinator would be.
So to recap, we like the uniforms. Roquan Smith is really, really good. The other inside linebackers have some flaws. Some are more exciting than others. Our next episode, which will probably be out about a week from now, we'll be entirely dedicated to talking about pass rushers. We only spent about 45 minutes or so talking about the inside linebackers. We'll probably spend a full hour talking about the pass rushers just because, number one, there's so many of them. But number two, I think all three of us are in agreement that that's the position the Titans will likely target at the end of the first round. And there's just a lot to get to at that position. So look forward to that. Thank you for listening to the Titan Size Podcast. For Matthias Wadner, Will Lomas, I'm Luke Worsham. We'll talk to everybody in about a week.